The Webcomic Beacon now presents First Issue, a brand new video series from the Webcast Beacon Network, in which three cartoonists from differing backgrounds take a look at the first issue of a comic and see if it succeeds or fails in doing what a first issue is supposed to do, and that is to make the reader want to get the next and following issues. You can check that out at firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com.
And it was funny.
All right. No, all right, let's do this.
Let's do this. Okay.
Leroy Jenkins.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome one and all to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Are you there, Ross?
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Did we really just...
Oh, no, you didn't lose me. I had the mute button on. And I was doing half the intro, too, so this is going to sound great on the recording. Fest is going to get to this part. And like, what's going on over there? Why didn't he ask what he had for breakfast? Then none of this would have happened. Puppet Fest is becoming his own character. I love it. Anyway... There's going to be a whole puppet universe of characters.
He and Puppet Ross hang out.
Puppet Ross, Puppet Fest. There's going to be a Puppet Dern soon.
There was going to be a Puppet O at some point.
Actually, Puppet Dern is just Dern's son Franklin. That's Puppet Dern.
Oh, I do have to say, I did just see... why does anybody pointed out to me that my obsession with Dum Dum should have been so much more because I finally saw Captain America?
I'm sorry, Dum Dum?
Yeah, Dum Dum Dugan.
Oh, the Scottish guy?
Well, the guy in the bowler hat.
Yeah, the guy in the bowler hat. He's awesome in that movie.
Awesome and a half.
Yeah. All right. Going to start the show now, and then we can keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome one and all to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. This is the newscast for October 30th, 2011, number 39 for those of you keeping track and collecting them all. You can find all this and more over at our website, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. But before you do that, be sure to listen to the show because we've got two amazing guests with us today. First of all, from our usual cast of characters, the amazing Alex of Alex's Guide, whose stuff can be found at alexsguide.next.net. Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Sup.
What's your Halloween costume this year?
I went as Cass Elliot.
Nice. Thorough.
Yep.
All right. And also with us today on the show, a man who pretends that every day is Halloween and Halloween is tax day, the one and only Darren Dern Gendron of HelloWithCheese.com. Hey, Dern.
Hey, yo. So if this is broadcast number 39. This is the Jigglypuff of Webcomics News.
Yes, this is the Jigglypuff of Webcomics News. It will put you to sleep, so that's accurate.
Is that how your last name is pronounced?
What?
Gendron? Gendron?
Gendron, yes.
Oh,
I got it right.
It was Gendron.
No.
I don't think I'd ever heard anybody pronounce your name, actually.
That's actually one of the secret reasons why I always have my byline as Darren J. Gendron, because it helps people pronounce the last name correctly. Good stuff.
All right, good to know. So every week here on the show, for those of you that haven't tuned in before, hey, how's it going? Nice to have you. Hope you enjoy the show. We cover all the news that's shit to print and anything we find online, normally found by our own news hound, Eric. Whatever Eric sends us, we look through and we talk about the interesting stuff and sometimes the non-interesting stuff that relates to webcomics. You can follow along with all the articles we talk about over at our website, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. With that in mind, we'll go into our first story, a epic travelogue from Liefeld Creations. Yes, that's right. Rob Liefeld is still at it. This time he's not drawing while driving a car while recording it and posting it on YouTube, but actually giving some feedback to people out there saying in an article, how to beat the haters, parentheses, how I do it, which is the worst title I've ever heard. But anyway, he talks about how he was in the industry for a long time. He felt like he was on top of things, but he was burning out along with all of his contemporaries, dropped out of the scene for a few years, had kids, and tried to get back into it, and everyone suddenly hated him. So he talks about how he deals with people hating him and how many copies of every issue he sold gets mentioned along the way. I gotta say, though, it does a pretty good job, as I was saying before the show to you guys, of humanizing Rob Liefeld, who's become this kind of joke character of drawing in the way that he did and the very 90s-ness that he portrayed. But it really does a good job of saying, you know, here's a guy, he was doing his best, he had a kid, he dropped out of things, he came back, everyone hated him, and how do you deal with that? And he even uses the word blogosphere, and I only caught one typo. So, all in all, pretty long, but, oh wait, two typos. sorry, he uses a semicolon instead of an apostrophe one time, that's just annoying. But no, he talks about, you know, how he copes with being this character that everyone knows as being this kind of joke and pouches everywhere and smoke, fog, and no feet and crazy guns and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got some interesting points, you know, about not engaging people with emotions and be sure to always be producing because no one ever cares what you did 2 years ago. Going to conventions and reconnecting, diving in and making things happen. He was giving away sketches for a while. He talks about that. And also, finally, laugh at yourself, which I think is really, honestly, good advice about the best way to deal with all the stuff that comes up. Alex, I know you had a chance to at least skim through this. And it is the longest article we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it's very long.
Yeah. But do you feel like you have a better appreciation for Rob?
I mean, yeah, he is this sort of like almost like a cartoon villain for a lot of people. But, you know, it's stuff like this that does remind you that these people are still people and still deserve to be treated with dignity and whatnot.
Yeah. And he does make the point, and I do think it's an interesting point, that, you know, I didn't know people could get so mad over lines drawn on a page at one point. And I actually talks about that in reference to Warren Ellis, which is he was on the internet and he was on Warren Ellis's site, and then he found through his forums a lot of people hating on Rob Liefeld. And he says, I didn't know people could get so upset about lines on a page. It's true. I mean, it's not like he's doing something racist or offensive. He's just drawing comics in his style. I mean, how much can you really hate on a guy for doing that?
It's a valid point. I mean, I think a great reason behind this is that the print comic industry, I had one writer once complain to me, like, I don't really have fans reading my work. I have people who want to replace me reading my work.
Yep, it's very true. Mm-hmm.
And it's just the weird nature of when you're writing for DC and Marvel or drawing for DC and Marvel is, yeah, it's everybody that's reading your stuff has their version of how they would write things. Doesn't matter if they have any talent to do it or not.
Well, what's also interesting is reading this article, I mean, he couldn't sound more like your average webcomic artist in a lot of ways about, you know, always needing to produce, trying to make the best of having a table, how to get people over to your table. If you leave out the sold 50,000 copies of something lines, then he really does sound like everybody else I know. And I love this bit, and I honestly felt like it applied to me, too, is if you don't like me, fine. I can only defend a fallacy about my work, not how you feel about me personally. Along the way, I picked up a legion of fans who were enthusiastic about my work and were excited to chat back and forth. Eventually, a lot of us migrated from threads on other boards to the official message boards. We currently have been together for over a decade, and I've spent countless hours talking, texting, and dining, basically sharing life with friends I've made here online. I have their backs and they have mine. We have honest commentary about our likes and dislikes, and I know that I've made friends for life. And honestly, I read that part, and I thought about all the webcomics friends that I've made through doing comics, and how much that same thing is true. So, yeah, it was a touching moment.
And our heart grew 3 sizes that day.
And so did Rob Liefeld's, which really was necessary because of the boobs he drew on them.
Let's be honest, though. The very last line of this entire article might be the best.
Yeah.
closes it up with, "And that's from the man that gave Cap boobs." Which, by the way, there's a typo.
Yeah, line. And another typo. Yeah. Okay, we're up to four. But no, fault him on the typos.
He's an artist. He's actually very busy man. I've actually spotted like 10 typos already, so that's okay. He's having problems.
But it doesn't detract from it doesn't detract from his point.
Unless you're a copy editor, it doesn't detract from the point.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. And you know, it's his personal blog, so he's his own copy editor.
So he can do whatever he wants. I'm just surprised that the footer of his page isn't covered in fog. But there we go.
No, his page and the sidebar could be all cleaner like design than mine right now.
It is. That's true. It's cleaner design than mine too.
Pretty sharp.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we'll move on to the next article, which actually comes from you, Dern. Thanks for mentioning that at the top of the show. Do you want to maybe introduce this one?
I was just noticing recently joystick.com is a video game blog, and it's always the question of, you know, what does a video game blog have to do with webcomics? But it actually is one of those situations where they normally do something called the Weekly Webcomic Roundup. And it's basically it's a little bit of a giant popularity contest. Yep. And honestly, I've had the experience that some of their commenters are some of the worst people on the web. Like, it's basically 4chan leaked out into a video game blog. But ultimately,
they're worse than YouTube commenters, and that's saying something.
It's if you ever make a video game gag, and let's be honest, with webcomics, just about every comic out there has made a video game gag at some point. If you make a gag that week, they might sometimes pick your comic up, put it in this roundup, and then have a vote on it. And it means at least like 1,000 new readers coming and checking out your site, if not more. How many of them stick around is debatable. It's based off of, you know, whether you tickle their fancy or not. Also, whether it's a good joke that week. But they can't actually see your comic unless they know your comic exists. And they're actively trying to increase the amount of comics they read on a weekly basis for selecting comics for the roundup.
Right. So if you do a comic that has made a video game joke recently, you should send it to them. You can send the link over to Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, at joystick, which is spelled joystiq.com, and tell them about the comic, and they will be sure to include the word webcomic in the subject so it can get through the filters, and then they may post it on the weekly webcomic wrap-up.
Mm-hmm. And then my best advice is if they do post it there.
Yeah, take Rob's advice and don't read the haters going to hate.
Don't read the comments. Don't bother reading the comments. And even then, don't even bother paying too much attention to the voting system. Like, it's not a big deal if you lose. Like, I have gotten like second place.
Yeah, I've never won.
Yeah, I got close. I got second place once, and that it was kind of fun, but at the same time, you don't get anything for that.
Exactly.
And, right now, I'm in last place of the current poll, and I'm not letting it get to me.
Yeah, well, you know, that wasn't one of your best jokes anyway.
No, it's the irony of this thing is that you're dealing with somebody else's taste and selection, and, you know, sometimes they're going to pick, like, the worst joke you've ever done.
Exactly.
And they're going to put it right out there. And that part is frustrating for me because, like I said, you're showing yourself off to a new audience and you're trying to put your best foot forward, but you don't get to pick which foot that is.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I had a great one on Friday about Batman punching a shark in Arkham City. And they skipped over that one in favor of a Pokemon joke that I did.
Yeah, well, they do have a certain, I mean, you can read through and see that they clearly have a certain thing that they are going for in the wrap up. I had a few in there a couple years ago. I actually haven't thought about the wrap up in a long time. But it is a good place to possibly get traffic, definitely. If you make a video game joke, you know, I wouldn't say go out of your way to make video game jokes, but because then they're going to look through your archives and see that that's the only one and then say, oh, well, why are we here? But you never know.
I don't think I've ever been linked by this.
Well,
wrap up.
Well, how many video game jokes have you made lately?
Well, not lately, but I have done a few comics about Minecraft this year.
You see, that would count. And so just being on the radar is handy for something like that.
Exactly.
And of course, if you're actually a video game comic, then you absolutely should be making sure that you know about this, because then this is actually, when you look at the Venn diagram of target audiences, the entire readership of this site is your target audience.
Right. Now, I gotta say, there was a long time where video game comics were everywhere, because obviously there were a few big prominent ones, and then everyone was trying to kind of recreate that. I gotta say, I haven't seen that many new video game comics in a long time. Maybe I'm just not looking, which is very true. I'm definitely not looking. But do you guys feel like the video game webcomic niche has kind of at least maybe not dropped off, but maybe stopped expanding?
Is it possibly like a Garfield effect that whenever somebody did a feature article about Jim Davis and how much money he made off of Garfield each year, the syndicates would suddenly see a tenfold spike in the number of cartoon strips submitted to them.
Were they just cartoon strips submitted, or were they cat-related cartoon strips submitted?
There was definitely a formula to a lot of those getting submitted, that they were very Garfield-esque.
Garfield-y.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't see the articles so much about the super successful video game comics now, because there's one comic that has that level of success, and it's Penny Arcade, and they're getting kind of old news.
Yeah.
You can't tell somebody a new story about, hey, check out Penny Arcade, they're a really big comic, because, well, they no longer can say they're the biggest comic.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, what is the biggest comic then?
It's debatable by traffic, but I think like the Oatmeal and XKCD are up there now.
Possibly. Very possibly.
Yeah. I'd probably throw SMBC up there too.
It's growing, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there gets to a point where it's like, it's big enough that they're clearly sustaining it, and then you stop even wondering how big it is. It's just depressing to find out sometimes. If you're a creator, it's like, yep, they're big. Okay, good for them.
Oh, it's not depressing. That's like awesome.
I mean, it's good for them, but it's kind of like, if you know someone makes more money than you, it's like good for them that they are. But after a point, it's like, you know that, and you don't need to know the details anymore. You know, it's like you do. Congratulations. I don't need to hear about the details of that.
You don't need to know that I have my butler coming in tomorrow.
Exactly. I don't need to know about your butler, Dern.
Okay.
Does your butler accidentally think that you're the butler sometimes with your mustache?
It gets confusing.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Do you guys shop at the same monocle outlet?
Butlers don't wear monocles.
They do if they have to look at something really close with one eye.
If they have bad eyesight, you take them out back and you shoot them.
Butlers aren't horses in the 1800s.
All right.
If you're hiring horses for your butler, then you need to get a not horse butler.
But horse butlers are the awesomest.
All I heard was horse butt. That's all I heard. Butt stuff. Anyway, over in our buzz section this week, our own friends here at the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, Onizumi and Harknell, have recently been interviewed by Geek Out, which is a blog run through CNN. Which can be found at geekout.blogs.cnn.com. In an article marked Webcomic Spotlight, Onizumi and Harknell, which talks about their comics, Stupid Insane Defenders Against Chaos, as well as their work on Intervention, the convention here in Maryland, the Maryland, D.C. area. And also, just they've been at it a long time, so they go back a bit and talk about, so what is this webcomic thing that you're doing, and how did you get into it, and all those sorts of basic questions.
The medium of web comics.
Yes. They even describe it, I think, at one point as an internet comic.
Yeah.
Which is always a good sign for that. Well, you know, as it even says on their own site about this blog, we employ the sensibility in our reporting Wait, but where's the line I was looking for? Features stories that actually matter to the nerd community but are still legible for those who are not in the know. So I guess they kind of had to cover the basics for those not in the know. Yeah, but it, I mean, it's always nice to see friends get a nice write-up. Yeah, I can't say I necessarily learned that much from it, but I'm kind of curious how this happened. You know, whenever I see an article like this, my first thought is, like, because I've had enough of these things happen in enough weird ways, my first thought is always, did they meet them at a convention? Do they know them already? Was it through sheer popularity and the blogger enjoying the comic?
I saw Odie tweet about this the other day. She's like, I'm going to be on CNN. I'm like, what?
I mean, I'm not trying to detract, but it is a CNN which is very different than normal CNN. But because if she were on normal CNN, that would mean that she's either dead or protesting something or in Libya.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought, too, when she just said CNN and not.
She could have been buying the new McRib. That was a big story.
That's out? Okay, we have McRib to stop the show. Stop the presses.
It's not kosher, Ross.
No kid. Wait, the McRib isn't kosher?
Just so you know.
Stop the presses again. I know we just stopped them. Restop them.
But anyhow, on this article, like there are two things that like I couldn't help but notice, like the word internet is mentioned like 7 times.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
The internet's on computers now.
It is. But at the same time, Lovecraft is also mentioned, so that's good.
That's always a good sign.
Get that balance in there.
Yeah. And some props to Rutgers University, which is always nice to see. Yay, New Jersey.
Woo.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wait.
Yes.
I think as a creator, when I see articles like this, like the thing that took me the most to get used to was like, okay, these are friends of mine. They're having a big article. And then like at some point the reporter asks for links of other comics. And it's really difficult to not like suddenly get like really jealous and freaked out when those links start coming, because I know how my friends go and I know how big of a group we are. It is almost physically impossible to mention us all in an article. Right. And then, you know, the reporter is going to edit it down. Like that's they just have to, especially if they're capable of saying everybody.
I did an article a year and a half ago and I gave them a link to 10 different websites of friends of mine. I mean, well, not just friends of mine. Some were friends whose stuff I really liked, and some of it was people whose stuff I was just enjoying reading. And it got hacked into like 2 with the wrong links on them.
Aww.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with not. I'm not blaming the journalists, but I'm not sure what's up with the process of journalism that leads to the wrong link showing up on things, but it happens a fair amount of the time.
Being recently employed by the journalism industry, the concept of journalism and the internet, every company still is trying to figure it out. Doesn't matter how big of a company they are. They like you look at CNN.com, and like we were talking about the address just for this blog, why do they need the word .blogs in the main part of the URL? It doesn't need to be there.
Right. It could just be geekout.cnn.com.
Yeah. Yes. Heck, I don't know if they could get geekout.com, but yeah, you probably want to keep the CNN branding in part of it. But yeah. The very just fitting in the links, that confuses them. And they've done a pretty good job of this. But then at the same time, I don't know what is wrong with CNN's code, because just out of curiosity, I was like, oh, hey, 2 comments. So I clicked the comments button to see, like, what was the comments? And there's nothing there. Like, oh, yeah. I can't physically see the comments.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Phantom comments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would have commented. Oops. And for all you know, I have already. And you just can't see it.
I'm pretty sure Ghost Ross has commented on this
many times.
Spooky comments.
All right.
Because you died at Webcomics Con.
Yeah. Now, now, do you guys think there's any way to, like, coverage like this is actually pretty helpful for webcomic artists to get?
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Like, I know a lot of people still scoff, like, oh, newspapers are dying. We're killing newspapers. A lot of newspapers are doing really, really well right now.
Uh-huh.
And they're still being read by millions of people.
Sure.
So the more that you're able to, like, I think as a creator, you're doing yourself a disservice by not trying to get into old media
right.
and having them cover you.
Right.
Just to, you know, brag about myself for a second here. When I was making the board game Scurvy Dogs, I went and contacted. I basically did blind contact press releases to the top 20 newspapers in the nation, plus every single newspaper that used to be local to somewhere I lived.
Right.
And with the blind ones, I just gave them a general description of it. And I got lucky, and the Washington Post actually picked me up, ran an article on me. And on the local ones, I sculpted it a little bit more and explained who I am.
Right. Hometown hero.
And yeah, exactly. The hometown hero angle. And I think people can do this also for their webcomic. Like, find the feature section of whatever paper, your hometown, where you live right now, where you went to high school, where you went to college, and send them the information about it. Because they're still going to write goofy articles like this, and they're going to talk about the internet has comics now. And they're probably going to want to try to interview Penny Arcade and XKCD, and who knows if they can actually get contact with it, and they want to multi-source it. But overall, they might just run something just on you and have a nice big fat link for you. And it's a pretty good audience that you can get.
And I think actually more than the audience sometimes is the chance to be able to have, like, from now on, be able to say, well, it got covered by CNN, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to have that in your press releases and in your bio and such. I mean, that honestly sometimes goes a long way.
It also makes it so Wikipedia can't delete an article about you.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're relevant. Congratulations.
Yes.
And make sure you save all the links to these things, people, because it's easy to lose track of them.
Nice.
Make a little, like, you know, ego-stroking file for yourself.
Oh, yeah. That should probably be on the About page of your webcomic right away.
Yeah. All right. And with that, we'll move into our next article. Sorry, that was kind of abrupt. over at DNA Daily News and Analysis. We're skipping those of you following along the Google Doc. We're skipping that next one because the page won't load. Comes to us via graphicpolicy.com about the India comic scene and specifically a Comic-Con Express, which is a comic convention held in Mumbai last weekend, with nearly 8,000. That was the number of books. I'm looking for the number of attendees, which they don't list. But they had a convention, which there have not necessarily been that many in India in recent years. I got to say, it's kind of cool to see that they've got some comic cons happening in India. I'm really curious what they would be like. They don't really go into it in the article, unfortunately, of what they would be like in comparison to an American con. Is there a lot of cosplay? Who knows?
I just found comicconindia.com/express.
Ooh.
That's actually the straight up site for this.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of poking around. I'm looking for pictures. They got some great art. Oh, gosh, it's very...
It is all in... the page is obviously in English. Otherwise,
yeah. We
wouldn't be able to see it. But I'm wondering how much of the actual comics are in English.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot is, because I'm remembering when I used to, like, be shopping for artists and I was trying to get different artists for different projects. Whenever I put an ad out, I used to always get a lot of bids from India studios.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very much looking to be, like, a supplier of comic labor.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting too because they're good. They have a very strong comic art industry there.
Well, it looks like it's not too late to apply to the second annual Indian Comic Con in February 17th to 19th in New Delhi. So, you think Hell with Cheese will be making a trip?
Probably not quite this year, but no.
All right. Well, maybe next year.
I'm loving whoever they got as the artist. He has a, like, the artist that's doing all the brochure and type stuff has a very, like, crazy alt art 1960s feel to his stuff.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, some absolute crazy. Like, I'm looking right now at a, what could only really be described as an Indian Wolverine.
Yes. Just what the world needs, another Wolverine.
I admit it. If there was like a Bollywood Wolverine, you would watch the hell out of that movie.
Oh, hell yes. Yes.
And he's vegetarian.
Oh, he would totally dance like crazy. Be great. Maybe everyone else dances except Indian Wolverine. Maybe he just sits around and waits for it. But he's still got the mutton chops. That's key. All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after a brief message from whatever comes after I stop talking.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. Did you miss us? Our next article is also from Geek Out. Thanks, CNN. And this one's on, Are Women Comics Risky Business? And discusses Womanthology, the article that we covered a lot here on the newscast in the last couple months, a hardcover comics anthology that raised a whole lot of money on Kickstarter and is all woman run. But also tying that into the issues with DC's relaunch and lack of woman creators, and then general crazy drawing of female characters throughout comics. And goes from there. Now, Dern, you were saying off the show that you were about to jump into some nerd rage, so by all means.
I'm just found this article, like, because you guys told me to read it.
Yep.
And I'm desperately reading it fast and trying to realize, like, are they trying... First off, that is an inflammatory headline. If that is actually where this article is going...
It's not.
It's not. Does it actually point out that women are going to outstrip men in terms of the comics reading market in like 15 years, easy.
Right.
Because, I mean, if we're talking about, like, there's a whole section here about young men are safe investments and how it's a financial risk for mainstream publishers to hire women creators because you sell most of your comics to men between 18 and 13. The base readership of comics, like, if you look at the kids reading comics, anybody between the ages of 10 and 16, the percentages are so vastly outnumbered female right now that why are they not catering
to
that audience?
Which is a lot to manga
instead?
Right now.
Exactly. It's the manga readership. And they're just like punting on that generation instead of trying to engage that generation. That they went DC's reboot was a disaster and a half from the female perspective because that's one of the problems they had here is why they only hired 1% women creators while doing this.
They are the 1%.
It resulted in completely no female point of view, and then absolutely stupid things started showing up in the comments that I'm pretty sure if they just had one woman on the team, she would be able to say, hey guys, no, this is bad. Don't do that. Starfire as a weird sex doll? No. Catwoman as a rooftop slut? No.
I need to point you to the bottom of this article, which says, we recommend on the left and has links to why geek girls are the new hot commodity, but also toward the right from around the web, which has, who is the hottest woman without pants?
Yeah.
It's not about comics at all.
Let me take a moment to just wallow in my rage. Just talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing with this article, it's pointing out a lot of the things that, you know, we've been talking about all year, basically, and sort of rehashing all this. It doesn't really seem to be offering any sort of new solutions.
Sure.
To the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would be the solution to the problem, Alex?
Hire me, DC and Marvel.
Attention, DC.
I would love to quit my job.
See, now, in the bigger world of comics, though, if you don't look at just DC and Marvel, but actually look at the comic industry, anyone that's making comics, do you still feel like there's a slant towards male creators? Because we've seen a ton of female creators. It's just they're not being hired by these two companies that we all keep focusing on as though they're a microcosm for the entire industry, which we've proven many times over by the fact that we're all making comics that they're not. So, I mean, is it true for the whole industry that it's mostly male? No, I don't think it is.
No, I definitely would not say that.
Okay, I'd like to point out this article, like, I'm using Control F to make most of my points today, it feels like. This article does not mention the word internet at all. And it mentions webcomics once, mm-hmm. when pointing out that a lot of female creators tend to be doing webcomics and small press and manga instead of quote-unquote mainstream comics. And I'm sorry, I hate the fact that DC and Marvel has taken the title of mainstream, because they get away with doing things like claiming they have the best-selling comic of the year when it sells like 200,000 copies. And then somebody points out, oh, by the way, this romance comic targeted at women in Brazil sells 500,000 copies.
Right.
Yes. And that's just a normal issue of it.
How now? Where'd you find the romance novel comic?
That
Are you a subscriber?
Yes, I am. Nice. But that came out about a month or two ago. That was when JLA won from the DC 52. Mm-hmm. DC was bragging about it. Rich Johnson from Bleeding Cool did the math and actually pointed out that even if you're trying to say best-selling comic in the Western Hemisphere, you're still wrong. Because, I mean, if they use also Japanese comics, they're really getting slaughtered
really, really
by the numbers.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, how you were saying how women reading comics is becoming a growing and growing industry, which I think has been proven all over the place. Do you think that that's going to lead to a large shift in the lame term mainstream in the next 10 years? Or do you think they're going to stick with what they got?
You're asking, are they going to manage to stay in business with what they have working right now?
Or are they going to maybe try and bring in these new this new audience to try and stay afloat in 10 years?
Honestly, I think they've got about 20 years. They can actually keep doing exactly what they're doing for 20 more years and running these comics and essentially running them slowly into the ground as this audience slowly dies.
So it's like conventions, really, if you think about it. We've all been to those conventions that you know, I'm sure were full of young people 20 years ago and now is full of 40-year-olds.
Yeah, like the slowly aging convention. And that's what DC and Marvel have right now is they have a dying fan base. Like, they're talking about targeting 18 to 34 when they're really targeting 28 to 35. And
well, if you think about it, I mean, the movie industry that they've now gotten into has revitalized that a bit.
Yeah. Are they just a house for movie pitches to hold on to the IP till the movie comes around and does something?
Well, Marvel is, definitely right now.
at the moment. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's where they're making their big bucks. Alex, anything else?
No, no. I'm reading about the Brazilian Mermaids comic.
Oh, sorry. I snuck in the link for.
It'll wind up in the feed. Don't worry.
I put Terma Demonica.
Yeah, yes.
Cover's really cute.
Yeah, it's a very cute looking comic, and it's very much targeted towards women. And you know what? Those used to exist in DC and Marvel too. Like in the 60s, they used to do romance comics, and a lot of it is the distribution model. Like
conmigo. Sorry.
I honestly don't know if DC and Marvel should do, unless they actually get their digital comic distribution going, right? If they get their web comics going, then they should start targeting more of the female audience. Because right now, not to talk about every comic shop badly, but let's face it, there are enough of them
right.
that are this way that they're just not female-friendly environments. They're creepy.
Hey, I've scoured the ranks of OkCupid looking for girls that like comics, and if they're around, they're just not near me.
Mm. Have you searched like Otaku Booty?
Oof, never. I have limits. I have limits, sir.
Because yeah. I'm thinking that might be where they are. So yeah.
I remember when those ads started popping up on.
I remember when. Former webcomic beacon newscast guest Phil Kahn was trying desperately to get me to join Otaku Booty.
Oh man,
I refused.
Well, here's on the flip side: are there women on OkCupid and other dating sites that like comics but realize it's like bringing out the town crier bell and just shaking it in the town square?
Oh, that's totally what it is.
Screaming out, bring out your geeks.
Yeah, that's totally what it is, unfortunately. Yeah.
So,
all right, well, we'll get into personas of online dating sites another day and not on this show.
Good.
Which brings us to our education section. Three articles that we'll link to and only mention here briefly, but be sure to go check out if you're interested. First on coloring in Illustrator and tips and tricks on how to make that a reality. Second, on adding a baseline image for Facebook into your blog. What that means is when you go to make a sharing post into Facebook, it automatically loads a default image to go along with your link, and it's a matter of how to set that default image that automatically comes with it to the actual comic you want it to be as the default, as opposed to nothing or your header image or something like that. So some interesting things over from Frumpf, one of the people that's worked a lot on the Comic Press and other WordPress themes. And finally, an interesting article on Tumblr over at Schweizer Comics on tangent lines in comics. And I'd never really looked at or talked about this out loud before, but I totally have seen and have been very conscious of exactly what they talk about in that article. The idea of lines that converge at odd places and along each other and are parallel in weird ways and things like that. My OCD nature takes off whenever I see those things. So be sure to go check those out. And no links to DeviantArt tutorials this week, which I'm actually kind of thankful for. And with that, we'll move into our tidbits section. By the way, do either of you know anyone that works in Illustrator to do their artwork? Their comics related artwork?
We both know.
Gosh. Yeah, I was going to say you're me. I guess James Hatton might also be a option.
Hatton
there.
Does. And so, Multiplex, Gordon McAlpin.
Okay.
I know Yamino, the creator of Sister Clara, does her line art in Illustrator.
Hawk
you
does
can tell,
something.
Because it's awesome.
So Hawk sometimes works in Illustrator. The nice thing about Illustrator, to those that aren't well-versed, is they have much, 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 much tinier files than Photoshop most of the time and are also able to reproduce at any size at any time. What that means is when you want to make a small, quick sketch you did into a T-shirt, you just hit scale and then 200% and then hit print, and then you're done. So there's no worrying about DPI and fuzzy images and resizing and that kind of thing, which really is pretty glorious. So if you're interested in that, go check out the coloring and Illustrator tips. All right, which brings us to an article found via Scott McCloud on the Freelancer's Game Board, which might make for a good holiday gift for somebody. It's by a guy named Todd Klein. It's got to be the most depressing poster game board I've ever seen about freelance comicking and how hideously difficult it is.
It's a nice abject lesson, and it kind of reminds me of like the old school games of the Great Depression, that they were secretly lessons.
Yeah, well, there's clearly that's the style to this in a lot of ways, and then they make a lot of in jokes about pairing up with top writers and stuff like that. But I love the style. The style is very like 40s clip art kind of thing, but really well done. And takes you through the entire process until you get to anywhere in between Easy Street and Get Out of Comics. You can't win or lose. Have a nice life or afterlife. That's always nice.
Like, there's some things in there that they're just so, like, some of the Out of Comics and some of the Easy Streets, they don't even seem like losing scenarios. Like, they're trying to remind you, oh, by the way, if you get the hell away from comics, you might actually have a better life.
Right.
Yeah.
Or there's distractions, lose a turn, and it's alcohol and smoke.
And a blunt.
And a blunt, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's classy.
It's very classy.
Anyway, it's a funny read. Go check it out. Also mentioned in our tidbit section, after I sneeze.
Gesundheit.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I have a cough switch, but I don't have a sneeze switch, so that just had to happen. Anyway, Viz Media has started releasing some of their mangas under one of their subprints as DRM-free, and actually mention out loud that there's nothing they can do about piracy, which is kind of refreshing, I gotta admit, to see it from a full thing. It's a yaoi subprint called Sublime. For those not into the yaoi subculture, Alex, would you like to explain?
Well, the real brilliance here is actually the visual pun in the Sublime logo, in which the B and L in Sublime are capitalized and in a different color. BL is short for Boys Love, which is a type of manga that often goes into yaoi territory, but not always.
And then you wonder about lots of women reading comics.
No, these are actually comics targeted to women.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
I thought we should make that clear, that this is not actually a genre for the boys. It's right. Just about the boys.
So this is a new imprint, Sublime, Sub-BL-Lime, whatever you want to call it, that is targeted specifically at yaoi manga. By the way, anyone else think it's funny that yaoi kind of sounds like its own sound effect for and then it happens to be...
It's got a bit of onomatopoeia
boy love?
To it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone? Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway... but they say on their Twitter, quote, "Piracy is unavoidable no matter what we do, unfortunately. People upload English-translated books by scanning them all the time." Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that kind of take. Like, well, we'll give this DRM-free and hope for the best. Because I think it's been proven, we've seen this a lot of times, that if you offer something in the best way, that lazy people can be lazier by buying it than they can by pirating it. They'll do it. It's all about capturing that lazy audience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, which brings us over to our oddities section. A few quick comics and things. But first, actually, I wanted to ask you guys if there was anything that you guys saw this week that you found particularly great in the realm of comics.
You mean like current storylines?
Yeah, cool stuff you've seen.
This is, you know, the week of Halloween, so we're starting to get all the nice Halloween costume tributes, and I think some of my favorites always this time of year is Diesel Sweeties.
Yeah.
How they set up just pun after pun based off of the costumes.
They always have funny costumes in Diesel Sweeties. I love how I say they, and yet it's one guy. But
yeah.
But he always has funny costumes.
The multiple personalities that are his characters.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And always with the funny puns. How about you, Alex?
Well, my friend Talcott Starr, who does an awesome autobiographical comic called Rescue Archaeology, which is at rescuearchaeology.com, just got engaged this week, and he did a comic about it. His girlfriend proposed to him, which is very sweet.
Aww.
All right, I'm going to spell that one out because I tried to spell it and got it wrong. It's RescueArchaeology.com. It's a really cool comic. I haven't actually seen this one before, but
I guess I should also point the other big news for me this week is in terms of comics that I read, Dr. Cat is updating again.
Yay! I love Dr. Cat. I got to give it up this week for Yellow Peril. Former webcomic newscast guest Jamie Noguchi has had a bunch of interesting storylines all coming to a head at once right now. Currently, two of the characters in a kind of they like each other, but one's got a boyfriend scenario is starting to come to a head in an interesting way. And mentions that even Allie knows that humans were made to combine garlic and mayo into tastiness. Which is just so something that Jamie would say. That I loved hearing it in a comic. yeah, awesome. All right, which brings us over to our oddities section. First up, a Sleeping Beauty comic from hell that is awesomely drawn. And they even mentioned the DeviantArt comments that it took between 5 and 8 hours each day for 3 days, which, looking at it, does not surprise me in the slightest. That thing is purdy. Real purdy. Did you guys see this thing? Because it's like beautiful and hideous all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Totally awesome. How do you do blood splatters like that is what I want to know. Like, that is an awesome blood splatter.
That's spoiler like a alert. Dexter-level obsession of blood splatter there.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. I've managed to get grungy down, but blood splatters still manage to elude me slightly.
For blood splatters, I would use ink splatters and just turn them into red.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I used to take fonts that had a lot of blood splatter, like ink splatter in them, and then just take the splatter part out from the letters, and I made just a bunch, and I copy and paste them a lot. That works, too. All right. Also, we have DC Girls in Sweaters over at hannymode.tumblr.com. You can follow the link over at Webcomic Beacon Newscast. This found, by the way, via Comic Alliance. Nope, Comics Alliance. It's plural. But it's great to see, you know, fully clothed girls for once in sensible costumes for fighting crime. Or just
in the fall.
In the fall. Exactly.
In the fall, yes.
Including Harley Quinn with a palm hat. Yeah, they do. But these look like girls you could actually, you know, chat with before they steal something or
it almost sounds like something that should be like almost creepy. Yeah. Like anytime that it's a tumbler of girls in blank.
Right. But here they're fully clothed as opposed to the alternative. So I mean, you gotta at least give it to them for that.
Yeah. There's a certain level of adorableness to this.
Yeah. And I gotta say, I'm really digging the art style. That Tumblr just got followed. Actually, they don't. So to be clear, they don't always do DC Girls in Sweaters over this blog. It's just that there's been a theme of it lately. It being fallen all. But there's also Wolverine making a Jack O' Lantern. So over on the same Tumblr. So clearly
that's good art.
Yeah, good times. All right, and finally, and two more. One. We have Spy versus Spy as interpreted by Jim Lee, which almost seems like it's making fun of Jim Lee if it weren't actually done by him.
I was actually expecting it to be like a mock Jim Lee.
Yeah, me too. But it actually is Jim Lee doing Spy versus Spy.
And I was just noticing that actually is something he did over the summer. Mm-hmm. And that if you follow the link, just follow the tag of Spy versus Spy, they have a ton of just awesome Spy versus Spy. Like, I'm only 4 pages in right now where they had a bunch of vinyl toys being edited.
I had no idea that was a thing. But that's awesome because I love Spy vs. Spy.
Let alone, and I love vinyl toys. You know, you mix it all together, and I'm sharing a link here. This one really just caught my eye. It is actually a Spy vs. Spy vinyl toy modded into Indiana Jones with the idol
sense of the hat.
And the whip.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, that's we'll put that link in the. Well, now we have to put that link somewhere.
So. Oh yeah, I demand it so. Yes. The funny thing was, I was actually just looking for Peter Bash's version of Spy vs. Spy, because I was noticing that they had that one as the next one after the Jim Lee. And then they also have, looks like Tom Bunk, and, well, that looks like about it for the artist ones that I can see here.
And Mike Allred doing a Bizarro Spy vs. Spy, which is awesome.
I missed that one.
Yeah, it's in there. Page two. Anyway, finally, we have one more, which is just some cool... No, I'm not even going to mention that one, because it has nothing... It even says in the NewsHound notes, nothing to do with webcomics. Well, yeah, but there's cool art from Shadows. We'll put in a link. I'm way more interested in Spy vs. Spy. did you guys read a lot of Mad Magazine growing up?
Well, it used to always be for me, like... The thing that you grabbed when your parents were shopping at the grocery store,
yeah,
and you'd go to the magazine stand to kill time.
Yeah. Oh, they even got Bill Amen doing one. Man, they got everybody. Yeah. How did I not know about this? By the way, pet peeve of mine, whenever you're on a blog and you're going like from the front page to like one page back, some places call that next page and some places call that older entries.
It's like, God.
And I you never sometimes you're like in the middle and you're not sure which way goes which way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then and sometimes on the left, sometimes on the right, and you really don't know which way you're going to get.
And then it's the ultimate frustration is when you back up and accidentally back up on a page you've already read.
Yeah. Ugh. Total pet peeve of mine. But
yeah.
I don't know why after this many years of blogging that hasn't been made consistent in some way or another. Also, mm-hmm. where can we get these awesome Spy vs. All right, well, here on Spy vs. Spy Toy Hour, there's some awesome ones. I really want to get one of those. Those are awesome.
Well, vinyl toys. Web. You know what? Let's tie it back into webcomics.
Yeah,
let's. Webcomics need vinyl toys.
Is that a feasible option
for webcomics? It's getting close to being a feasible option.
Nice. Okay.
I think there are about, I would say there are about 50, well... There are 50 comics in my head that would have enough traffic and fans that they could look into getting vinyl toys.
Mm-hmm.
And of those 50, I would say that at least a dozen of them have characters that could be vinyled very, very easily.
Well, I think...
Didn't Anent and Yuko make a vinyl toy of the Maw?
Yeah, they did through...
Actually, that was a resin sculpture, I believe.
Oh,
yeah, they did a resin
okay.
sculpture.
Yeah. Which... Still, also awesome.
Which is like a final toy, I think.
Looking for Group has had some resin sculptures.
So has Short Pact, David Willis's characters.
And
Phoenix Requiem. I have both of her figures
yeah.
that she did from her comic.
And Penny Arcade has done Cardboard Tube Samurai.
Oh, and
resin.
And dare I mention PvP as well. Did a Skull the Troll resin thingy. Awesome. Yeah, I was actually trying to make system action figures, and I'm still waiting to hear from my producer, manufacturer, whatever. Because I would love to have just a whole little row on my desk. That's always
I've got these little blank vinyl figures that I'm going to modify into Garanos. Mm.
You know they make blank My Little Ponies, right?
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah,
yeah. I still need to put up that system.
Oh, I know, Dern.
All right.
I've actually got some ponies that I might start modifying, but it's like, oh, I already have so many creative hobbies. Do I need another?
So we should probably start wrapping up the show. We're nearing an hour point, which is.
Ponies, Ross. Ponies.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm wrapping up the show? So
it's all about the bronies, man. Surprisingly robust online community.
True story. But okay, is there any stuff that's happening on either of your sites this week that you'd like to mention? Dern?
I'm updating.
You're updating regularly. I know.
We're updating regularly, and the Cheesecast has actually finally made a regular return.
Ah, your own podcast.
Yes, our own podcast with me and O Abnormal, where we have absolutely no structure whatsoever.
That must be nice. That's kind of like ours, actually. Speaking of which, O needs to be on the newscast. I've contacted him multiple times and heard nothing back. So
this is going to be a busy couple of months for him, between getting our comics done, recording the Cheesecast, and getting Scurvy Dogs, getting the art done.
Fair enough.
We got some deadlines.
Fair enough. And Alex, what's happening over at alexsguide.net these days?
Well, I'll be updating on Monday and Friday this week as usual.
Sweet. And I'll be actually updating this week, which will be a nice change of pace from last week, where I only did that once. It's been a rough week. All right. Well, with that, we hope you've enjoyed the show. We've enjoyed having you. We hope you've enjoyed listening. I'd like to take a quick moment, as I always do, to thank all the people behind the scenes that make things happen. Thanks to Eric for keeping all of our news coming in, and to Fess for doing all of the editing work and generally running the site. We make fun because we care, Fess. Also, thanks to Alex for being on the show, and Dern, thanks, as always, for joining us today and jumping in so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to get in touch with us or send us any articles or complain about anything we've talked about or your own opinions, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email over at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, or you can even leave a voicemail. Drunken voicemails are fine. 1-320-310-0922. All that and more over at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show. I've been your host, Ross Scott. Comics will be posted on my site, systemcomic.com, until morale improves. I hope to see you soon, in person or here in the interwebs. Peanut butter and jelly. Have a great Halloween and a great week. Good night, everybody.